because he feels so uncomfortable not being in the pulpit on Sunday night that he cut my time short. He said, one of those things that a preacher doesn't like to hear is, keep it short tonight. So I'm going to have to keep it short. I was going through my passage in Hebrews, and that's where we're going tonight, Hebrews chapter 4. We'll read a couple of verses in chapter 3 as well tonight. Well, Hebrews chapter 4 is where we're going to mainly be. So I had to cut it short. It was going to be chapter 3 and chapter 4, but we'll stick mainly to a couple verses in chapter 4. Tonight I want to speak on the topic of a laborer's rest. Most of us know that when you work, one of those times that you look forward to is break time. I work construction, and break time can never come soon enough, especially when we're up on a roof. I think one of the most demanding parts of construction for me would be roofing. And just before I came here, I was up on a roof on a 12-12 pitch, so we were on the boards and brackets up there with harnesses in our premises so that we were working safely. We didn't want to fall off, but it's very demanding. When you get up close to the peak, you're going from the ground with a 70-75-pound bundle of shingles on your shoulder, up a ladder, up these boards and brackets the whole way to the top, and then you got to put them on. And then you take them out, and individually they still weigh a bit, and they're hard to manage and handle. You get up there, and it's very physically demanding. You're working constantly. I don't know what your job may be. Each of you probably have varying and different jobs. I know in my church back home, we have, look at the occupations. We have everyone from college professors to construction workers to nurses, and you know, it's just all over the place. And all of those jobs have various things that make them demanding, whether it's physically draining or mentally draining. And you know, I find a lot of times even the mentally draining part is almost worse than the physical. I think physical labor I find to be less draining than the mental. When I prepare a sermon and then I get up and preach the sermon, I think I exert more energy doing so than I do doing that roof, and I think that's an extremely difficult thing to do. We come to a point where we just want to rest. We just want to take a break. We want to sit back and do nothing for a little while. You know, as Christians, we are called to be laborers. We are called to labor. You know, the time of rest, we often want that to come earlier. But you know, that time of rest only really comes at the end of our lives. And I see here in our passage in chapter 4, I'm going to start by reading I'll read the last verse of chapter 3 and down to verse 3 in chapter 4. It says here, "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us, entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although their works were finished from the foundation of the world." Let's pray as we begin. Our Father, we thank you so much for your word, for the power that it possesses, and how it can change our lives. Lord, we do thank you for the simplicity of the gospel and how our faith is what makes us whole. Lord, just the faith that we place in you can one day yield a rest. Lord, we pray that you teach us from your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight I want to look at two things. I want to look at a group that misses out on rest and a group that has a rest that is promised in the future. We see here in our passage, look at verse 19 at the end of chapter 3. It says, "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." As you go through chapter 3, you see the nation of Israel. They had come out of Egypt and they were on their way to the promised land. This is a group of people who trusted God that he would take them out of captivity, take them out of that nation, that bondage that they had, and bring them into a promised land. Well, then they got into the wilderness. And once in the wilderness, they saw the hardship. It was dry. It was dusty. The water, at times when they'd come to it, they'd be filled with joy. And they'd get there, and that water was bitter. It was gross. They couldn't drink it. But then we'd see God miraculously provide them with another source of water, with sources of food. God would provide for them over and over and over again, yet they continued to murmur. They continued to complain. And what God was doing, and this passage is those stories picture to us is God's deliverance from sin and an entering in when they were to go into the promised land was to be a picture of that rest. And it says here that they could not enter in because of unbelief. As you know the story well, 40 years they had to wander in the wilderness. And over that period of time, all of those that were, can't remember the age, and up, they all passed away. Because of their unbelief, they could not enter in to the promised land. They couldn't enter in because they did not have faith. When the 12 men went to spy out Canaan, we know the song well, I love to sing that song with the kids. 12 men went to spy out Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Now what separated the bad from the good? Belief and unbelief. You see that 2 believed that God would bring them into this land. Even though there were giants there, and even though there were great walled cities, these 2 men, Caleb and Joshua, trusted that God would bring them into the promised land. He would bring them into that land of rest. Now, yes, there would be time when they'd have to be planting crops and laboring to get food. Laboring for this reason or that reason. They were still human. They were still on this earth. They had to work. The ground has been cursed from the time of Adam. We have to work. It wasn't a rest from a physical labor, but there was going to be a rest there. But it says in our passage that because of unbelief, that generation, those generations could not enter in to that rest. And as we move into chapter 4, we see that God likens that unto us as human beings. If we do not accept Christ, if we do not mix, if we do not bring our faith into the equation, if we do not believe that Jesus Christ has died on the cross for our sins, if we do never come to that point, that rest will never come to us. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. It says, "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with the faith in them that heard it." You know, we can come to church and we can hear hundreds of messages preached. We can hear the gospel preached to us plainly. We can have friends, other believers, come to us and tell us of Jesus Christ, what he has done for us on the cross. But if we never bring our faith and trust into the equation, if we never bring that to the table, trusting that Christ died, message of the gospel is profitless. As I was looking at this passage, I like to read a few different commentators, and Matthew Henry had this to say about verse 2. He says, "There have been in all ages a great many unprofitable hearers, many who seem to deal much in sermons, in hearing the word of God, but gain nothing to their souls thereby. And those who are not gainers by hearing are great losers." Now, today in our day and age, we hear a lot of people say, "Oh, you're a loser. You're a loser for this reason or that reason." You know, when we come to the Word of God, those that are going to be the losers, the ones that are losing out, are those who never place their faith in Christ. You know, at the age of 5, I was old enough to understand the gospel. The gospel is so very simple that even a child can understand. Even a child can accept Jesus Christ. I find that as we get older and we start to question more, our minds get, we would say, more developed, we have a harder time grasping the simplicity of the gospel. Find at times it's harder to reach an older crowd with the gospel that has never heard it before than it is to reach a younger crowd. There are times where you'll have a vacation Bible school or whatnot, and a number of children will be there, and they'll be hearing it for the first time. Or maybe they're hearing it for the 5th, 6th, 7th time. But you know, their hearts are so moldable and pliable that God gets a hold of them at a young age. And they come to Christ. But then there are others who take years and years of preaching for them to get past themselves. Whatever it may be that is holding them back from accepting Christ, they will not do it. And they remain in the position of unbelief. You see that Israel missed out on the promised land. Many in that nation missed out because of unbelief. And mankind, too, will miss out on the rest of heaven because of unbelief. Now, when we talk about a rest, that must preclude that there was work. There was work involved. Now we come to from the position of unbelief. You have accepted Christ as your Savior. Now you're in the position where you are God's laborer. You are His servant. And He expects us to work. If we're going to get a rest one day, we have to work. Now, just because we don't work doesn't mean that that rest will not come. But you know, depending on the condition of our hearts, that rest might come a lot earlier than it ought to. You know, the Lord will and has taken some people out of His life because of the way they've treated His name. Yes, they came to Christ. Yes, they have accepted Him at one point in time in their life. And it may be that at one point they were wholly sold out to the Lord. They loved Him. They wanted to do many things for Him. But somewhere along the line, they got away from Him. And they started to drag the name of the Lord through the dirt. They started to get involved in worldliness. Those things started to take them away from the Lord. And they've gotten so far that you can't even see that Christ has any part in their life. And you know that rest can come at a younger age. It can come a lot sooner than it ought to. Now, we never know quite why the Lord takes people out of this life at one time or another. It doesn't necessarily mean that they have lived a wicked life and God is trying to preserve His name. It may be that you have lived a godly life and God takes you out of this life at a young age. There can be many reasons. But we do see in this passage that there is a rest promised. But God expects us to work. He expects us to labor while we are here on this earth. Look at verse 9 in chapter 4. It says, "There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God." Move on down through verses 10 and 11. It says, "For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." You know, there are times where we may want our rest early. There are times where I might be working along in the middle of my day and I think, it's still an hour and a half away from break. I am exhausted. I just want to sit down and I want to take my rest now. And even though my dad is my boss on the construction site, he will look at me and he say, "You have an hour and a half left until break time. You get up and you go back to work. You get back on that roof. You get back framing those walls." He expects me to work. And I have enough respect for my father as enough respect for my boss, that I'll go right back to work. I'll go back and do it, even though it's uncomfortable. I'm tired. I want to sit down for a while and catch a bit of rest. I have to go back and I have to do some work that's uncomfortable that I don't want to do. Then I'll get my rest. You know, serving the Lord isn't always going to be comfortable. But in our hearts, we seem to want to take our rest early. We want to sit back. We want to relax. We want to have the best that this world has to offer, the best that this life can offer. We want to take a rest now. You know, laboring for the Lord in whatever capacity it may be, whatever God has called you to do. Maybe you work a secular job and you're out there in the world. God expects you to be a faithful witness. That is a work God has called every one of us to. He hasn't called every one of us to the ministry of the Word, preaching every Sunday, preaching Wednesday nights, whatever the case may be. He hasn't called everyone to a pulpit ministry, but He has called everyone to labor in the world, to labor to win others. You know, when we don't tell others, we are effectively saying, "Lord, I'm taking my rest now. I'm taking that break now." We need to be very careful not to do so. You know, God expects us to work. He expects us to follow Him in that way. Look at Christ. He didn't have a place to lay down His head. He would work from early morning to late at night, ministering to people. He would go out and He would be tired. But because He had compassion on the people, because He wanted to do His Father's work, He continued to tirelessly work. Working in ministry is hard. It is work. It is labor. But you know, when we come to the end of this life, the rest that we're going to receive, the joy that we're going to have as we enter the presence of the Lord is going to be amazing. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. It'll be worth it all when we get to heaven. When this life is over, we've put in our time of work. When we get to be with our Lord, it will prove to be worth it all. You say, "But it doesn't seem like it." Trust the Word of God. It will be worth it. There's three things that I find that we have as believers. We have the righteousness of Christ, a and we have a peace and a joy. Now, there's many other things that I could list off that we have, but for tonight, there were three things that were on my mind: peace, joy, and righteousness. Now, of those three, there are two that you can lose. There are two that can disappear on you, but there's one that can't: the righteousness of Christ. That one can't go anywhere. We have the blood of Christ, and when God looks at us, yes, though there may be sins that we allow back into our lives, when we pass away, that righteousness of Christ is still there. Our sin debt is still paid, and we will go to heaven to be with the Lord. That righteousness is always present. But that peace and the joy that we have at salvation can be lost by inactivity. That peace and joy can be lost by not following God's commands, not following His word, and staying active. You know, when I preach, when I teach the Word of God, when I'm witnessing to someone, when I'm helping someone mow their lawn. Just a couple weeks ago, one of our youth activities, we like to have a ministry night, my wife and I, every month with my teenagers, and we would have a ministry night. One of their favorite activities was our ministry nights. I hear that they're always once a year. Without fail, they will go to the Murphy's place and cut the wood. And I heard that the teenagers absolutely love it. They'll go, and even though they're working, they're laboring, there's a joy. There's a peace. And I found that no matter who I'm around, who I'm working with in the ministry, there's always a peace and a joy present. You know, God gives us blessings through our lives. He can give us blessing when we follow Him. And He makes that journey toward our rest. He can make that quite pleasant just by the joy and peace that we receive by following Him. And though the work may be tireless, though the work itself may not be pleasant, and some of the people that we have to work with or around or minister to may not be pleasant toward us, God always gives us rich blessings. So when you look at your life, you look at the hardship that you may be enduring, you look at how much work you have to do in the run of a week, whether physical or mental or spiritual, God will give you a rest at the end of your life if you come to Him, believing Him, trusting Him by faith. And that's the one thing that this rest requires, is faith. It says that many have missed out because they did not place their faith. There is no rest for the wicked. There is no rest for those who never come to Christ. But there is a great and abundant rest for those who come to the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank You for Your word, for how plain and how simply You give us Your word, how You gave us the gospel. Lord, we thank You that even as a five-year-old, I was able to accept Christ. Lord, I pray that Your word would continue to go forward and You continue to use it in the life of Your people. In Jesus' name, amen.